Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Listen. Don't let them entities take up your home. Trippin'. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. Yeah. I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug. I just walk with love. They just wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves, they probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth, this we've been under rust. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic, this is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people fit, orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours for sure. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. So do it for yourself, you the day one, day one. Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
I'm back up on my grizzly, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce to show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice to show us how to take it.
Take it.
All right. Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Saturday, Sabbath day, April the 27th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for today. And as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we've got a very, very powerful show scheduled for you today. You know, as someone who comes out of a traditional, you know, a Christian or church background, I remember back in when I was a young, you know, just a kid growing up, and I would hear about the end of the world. And I would hear about the Battle of Armageddon, and I would hear about Doomsday, and I would hear about, you know, the rapture. And then I would hear especially about the tribulation period. And then that was pre-trib. Then that was post-trib. Then that was mid-trib. And I used to hear all of these debates. And I used to hear all of these, you know, reverend and doctors and bishops preaching and teaching about how, you know, you were going to die and go to hell, or the tribulation, you was going to be raptured out of here so you would miss the tribulation, or during the tribulation, your faith would be tested to see if you was worthy of the tribulation. And, you know, I was talking to, my brother sent me a video by Pastor Carl Gallup, which was a great video, by the way. And I love talking about this topic now. Now that I got understanding, but I hated talking about this topic or hearing about this topic before because I didn't understand the end times prophecy. I didn't understand, you know, are we living in the end times? And right up front, to answer that question, absolutely. This is the end times. This is the end of days. This is the end of the world as we know it. But what does that mean, though? This is the end of the world as we know it? And I was listening to this video that my brother had sent me. And, you know, he's my brother, he's family, you know, and I love my brother, I love my family, and I love everybody. You know, that's the problem with being a six. But this video, Pastor Carl Gallup, another great preacher, David Wilkerson, and Paul Washer, and there's a lot of people who talk about Bible prophecy and church prophecy and what it is and what does it mean. And as a young man growing up, I never could wrap my brain around this topic, even though I understood it. It just didn't, I'm going to use the word fair. I couldn't understand how a God of love could do certain things. And I just had difficulty understanding it. And as I got older and I talked to people, nobody could answer my questions. When I asked questions about the rapture, and they could give me scriptures, and I asked about the emptying, especially the emptying of the seven bowls that it talks about in the book of, Revelation. Like Revelation 12:9, when it talked about, I saw the great dragon who was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels was cast down with him. And I remember as a kid just reading, you know, some of these scriptures like that one in Revelation 12:9. And then there's a bunch of, you know, scriptures, especially like Revelation, the whole chapter, verse 16. What about the, you know, the trumpet that it talks about, you know, that people who had died before and how they was going to be raised up. So all of this stuff in the book of Revelation, the seven trumpets, the bride, the marriage, the marriage supper, you know, all of this stuff. And then all of the end time prophecies as far as events. There was going to be wars and rumors of wars. There was going to be gnashing of teeth. And so all of these was prophetic events that was given. So I want to play a part of the video. And again, I don't own the rights to the video. This is our video that's on YouTube. Again, the title of the video is Something Never Seen is Happening in the World. It's on YouTube. Again, it's produced by End Time Productions. That's the name of the company. And the pastor's name is Pastor Carl Gallup. Now, let me say up front, I concur with everything that everybody says about the end time prophecy. Now, my concern, as you will see, when you listen to the end time prophetic words of any preacher, like I say, and I've been saying, I am so thankful. You cannot even, the peace that I have, I can't even put it into words. Because without understanding or overstanding and understanding what the word world means, without understanding just that one word, if you do not know that that means age or aeon, then life for you is over. And for me, it's beginning. And I'm so thankful because God, the real one, he knows my heart and your heart. He listens to my heart and your heart. He always answers prayer. I've been young and now I've been old. I am old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. And there's Christians who are afraid and living in fear because the end of the age, the end of the world is here. And now I know that there are different levels. You know, some people are just called to teach and preach. You know, I'm going to use the word Hebrews, like it says in Hebrews 6:1. You know, and I say this all the time. And that's why this message is so important. I wish to God that every Christian that I know, I wish all my family members, I wish even my own children were on this call today. I wish to God Almighty that some way, somehow, by some miracle, even though I know it's probably not going to happen, excuse me, I'm still believing that it is going to happen. Because without this ability to understand what it says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, without understanding everything, that Jesus ever taught, every word that he ever taught, comes down to this. This, my brothers and sisters, is so powerful. Because the truth, and I'm going to talk about this tomorrow morning during my Sunday morning service or my Sunday morning message, because it's more of a churchy message, and I can get really churchy and get into the power of the cipher or the code or understanding what the Bible says when it says, the word became flesh and dwelt among men. With the inability to understand that statement among many statements, the Bible is a book of damnation. It's a book of destruction. It's a book of fear, concern, because there are some people, God's elect, people who are saved, who are going to go on to great and powerful things. But then there are the people that are not saved who are going to experience some very horrible things. And so that creates, I'm not going to use the word fear, but if I had a family member that wasn't saved, like I did, which is why I went into, which is number one, which is why I got saved, and why I went into teaching and preaching about getting saved. I didn't understand the hidden esoteric meaning. I didn't understand none of the parables. I didn't understand what the word, I had no definitions. I didn't understand that the secret to the universe is hidden in the words. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand that you cannot get to the kingdom of heaven. You cannot do anything in the kingdom of heaven if you don't understand John chapter 1, verse 14. I didn't understand. Nobody told me. That's why I'm doing today's show. Nobody told me, man. For the first half of my life, I lived in fear. I was afraid. I was afraid that if I did something wrong, God was going to zap me. I was afraid if I didn't pay tithes, I was going to be poor. And, you know, I was afraid if I didn't, you know, turn the other cheek. Everything was fear. Even though it wasn't fear as in conscious, it was an underlining fear. Now, remember, as I talked about in my private show last night, the secret to the whole universe is intention. And I gave you the science behind it of what a lot of stuff that's coming out now, and it's on my Facebook page, and I've been talking about this a lot, is what, you know, Dr. Bruce Lipton called epigenetics. And so without understanding that your unconscious feelings is how you order. So if you're a Christian and you have if you've been taught, as I was, that the world is coming to an end, there is an unconscious, oh, man, I was raised where we was packing, you know, we were stocking up food in a basement, and we was packed because the end of the world was coming as a kid, and I did that to my kids. And so my oldest son is just now, you know, he's almost 30. He's just now starting to live because he told me when I used to tell him this when I was a preacher, he says, Dad, there's no reason to live. There's no reason to go to school. There's no reason to get married. Why? We're going to die anyway. The end of the world is coming. It's in the Bible. There's nothing we can do. I was like, that's right, son, nothing we can do. So he checked out. He's just now got married. He got three beautiful daughters. Now he can keep it. This was an angry man. He was an angry little dude, and he was sitting on the sideline. I used to ask him, BJ, how come you're not involved in life, man? How come you're not trying to do, man? And he would tell me, Dad, what for, man? Why? We're going to die anyway. Jesus is coming back. The end of the world. Armageddon. There's going to be a battle. That's going to, you know, everything that everybody's been taught. That's what my son told me because I told him. Because my mama and everybody else told me. And so I never asked that question that I'm asking you to ask today. If you got children, man, don't do it for yourself. You keep your belief. But if you got children, I've already did it to my children. I got five children, biological children, that are mine. And now I'm raising my, you know, stepchildren. And thankfully, they don't have the fear because their mom, thankfully, wasn't a fire and brimstone preacher like I was. Like, I preach fire and brimstone. I don't know if y'all understand. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to die. You're going to hell. That's what I preached and teached. For the first half of my life, that's all I knew. And so my sons, my kids right now, they're religiously confused. They're lost because they checked out. Now, finally, or thankfully, there was an awareness that I've come to, but now they got to come to the same awareness. But once you check out, you check out. But why do you check out? Fear. So John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, brothers and sisters, as I will be breaking this down, we've got to understand, how does this tie into Bible prophecy? How do words become flesh? So if you cannot understand, if you cannot answer that question, how does my word change or manifest in matter? Can you answer that question? If you cannot answer that question, then you're in deep kimchi. Because a spirit man becomes a flesh man through the power of the word. The Bible says the same thing. This is called the Logos, L-O-G-O-S. So if you look up the word Logos, it is translated into English. The Latin word Logos is the English word, word. So words are not what you and I know. I wrote an entire book called Enochian, the language of bent light beings, proven based upon history, based upon cosmology, and based upon the Bible, that words take on and become flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, let me make sure you understand why this is so important. So let me play, I don't know how much of this I'm going to play, but enough of it so you guys can get over there. And I do apologize because, again, hopefully the sound will be clear enough for you to hear it. And then I will send anybody who's interested, you just go to YouTube or you can just text me and I will send you the video so that way you can just listen to it at your leisure. And now remember, everything that is being said, I agree with 100%. I just don't agree with the definitions. We got different definitions. That is huge. That's like very, 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 very important. And so the reason why that is so important, a reason why this is so important, is without understanding these definitions of these words, okay, it has to be doom and gloom. That's the only, there's nothing else for it to be, because that's the definition. And so without understanding that definition, then nothing makes sense. And so everything really gets lost or get convoluted. And so when we talk about that, we're talking about the question is, are we coming to the end of this world? And the world means age or aeon. So when you change that definition, you change the whole paradigm. You change the whole script. You change everything that is being said. But without understanding that definition, then you're left with the inability to make a conscious understanding. And so this is very, very important. So without that, then we're left with something that doesn't make sense. That's why this is so important. Very important. So let me play the clip really quickly. And again, pay attention to what Pastor Gallup is saying. Very, 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 very important. So let me get my sound here. Just 1 second, wait for the sound to come on.
The end of man's filth? I mean, we're into quantum computing and genetic editing and CRISPR-Cas9. This has only happened in one generation. And all of these things we've talked about are coming like this. So ask me again, do I think we're in the end times? Yes, absolutely we are. I don't think it. I know it.
So you're talking about the end times. I'm talking about the same thing. This is Pastor Carl Gallup of End Time Productions. Very, very important.
Prophetic times since the first coming of Jesus Christ. I could take an hour or two and prove that to you. We don't have that kind of time right now, but we really are. I preach and teach on it all the time, and I've written books on it, and this prophecy conference I'm doing, I spend an hour and a half talking about why it is and how we know that we are living in the most prophetic times since the first coming of Jesus. Now, the deal is, I don't set dates, though, and I don't pull out charts and graphs and maps and try to line it all out and say, listen, I've got the perfect understanding of this. Now, I'm open to looking at charts and graphs and maps. I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying that there's so much. Prophecy is so intricate and complicated in that it requires context, it requires foundation, it requires connection to the rest of the scripture. You can't just go in and take one prophetic utterance, pull it out, and think that you've got everything in a box. That was the fault of the Pharisees. They had their vision of what Messiah was supposed to look like, where he would come from, what he would do for them, that he would actually bolster their ministry and elevate them to places of leadership. They had such a box, their charts, their graphs, and their maps, that when Messiah was standing right in front of them, not only did they miss him, they hated him. And in the name of God, they crucified the Son of God outside the temple of God, thinking they were doing God a favor. I don't want to be that guy. And I'm trying to wake up the church. Look, we're living in very prophetic times. Israel's back in the land. Jerusalem now belongs to Israel. You know, the Middle East is on fire. Syria has collapsed. Turkey's collapsing into an Ottoman Empire. Russia's in alignment with Persia. Persia and North Korea. China's got their first military base out of their nation. I mean, on and on. The borders are collapsing. Western culture's being overrun by Islam and political correctness and, you know, and gay marriage, and we don't know what a marriage is anymore. We don't know what a gender is. We don't know what a little boy or a little girl is. I mean, people, if we can't see this, then to think of the technology explosion. Now, I love technology. I'm a techno geek, so I'm not one of those old guys that say, well, that newfangled stuff, that's of the devil. Well, but here's the deal. We have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So every technological boom that comes forward, CRISPR-Cas9. That's amazing. Genetic editing. That's astounding. Can we use it for good? Absolutely. We can bless people's lives. But is it going to be used only for good? Absolutely not. In fact, now it's already perverted and perverse, and we have not yet seen the bottom of that dark hole. All right? Robotics and artificial intelligence. Can we use that for good? Oh my gosh. It would just make the whole world transformed in some wonderful ways. But the problem is, we build the robots, we put artificial intelligence, and then the makers of it say, I know what, let's have sex with it. It's just the perversion is uncontrollable. Pandora's box has been opened. So when you put all this stuff together, and then you understand that we're the first generation in humankind to see the convergence of all this stuff since the return of Israel, just 70 years ago. Just 7 years, our historical lifetime. You and I, neither one of us are 70 years old, but you and I both grew up with Israel has always been there in our lifetime, but it really hasn't. It's just been seven little decades. It's been 2,700 years before that there was no Israel. Yet the word of God said in the last days, I'm bringing it back, and I'm paraphrasing, but God says it in Ezekiel 38, 39, says it in Deuteronomy 4, and several other scriptures. In paraphrasing, he says, and when I do this, then the nations will know that I am the Lord, and there is no other. I will bring them back in the sight of the nations. This will be my witness to the nations that I am the Lord. And I'm going to paraphrase and add this because this is the implication of it, and that we are in the last days. When you see Israel return, we're 70 years. We're just a few months the other side of Jerusalem being restored, another 2,700-year-old prophecy that we're living in the midst of, and 98% of the pastors in America never mentioned it. And to this day haven't mentioned it. So, yes, we're living in the end times, and what that means is we're getting so close to the return of the Lord. Now, I know there's going to be an Antichrist system, but as horrific as that is, if we understand the scriptures correctly, it's just a short period.
So he's talking about, you know, and he makes a lot of great points, like I said, especially with, you know, Israel coming around, technology. So he's going through all of these points, and he's going through a lot of different things that he's talking about that's going to happen that has been predicted inside of the Bible. Now, if you can, number one, understand that Jesus always taught in parables, always. He always, I say that all the time. So once you understand that this is a parabole, that's the first thing you got to understand, that what he's talking about is something that's happening in the natural world, as we can see. Then he's talking about, or we should ask the next question, because the Word or the Logos is also Jesus, because Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Logos. Jesus is the light of the world. So without understanding what the word Jesus, what the word Word, and what the word Logos means, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, when Jesus says, follow me, when Jesus says, no man can go through the Father except through me, all of these words we got to really, 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 really understand. Because if we don't understand what these words mean, we don't have esoteric, which means inner, exoteric, which means outer. Let me say it again. This is the foundation of what parable means in the Bible. The Bible is a book written in parables. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I never write unless I write in parables. So we got to find both meanings. So that's the outer meaning. That is the exo, E-X-O-T-E-R-I-C. We got it. That's great. That's first base. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. That's the foundation. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay? We're good. Okay, is that it? That's how we're supposed to do? No. So why do we stop? Why do we stop with that? If where we get that from, it also tells us there's something else we're supposed to get. Why do we only get Jesus Christ and him crucified? Why is it so difficult for us to get the rest of Hebrews 6:1, Hebrews 11:1? Now, remember, if you don't get this, you have fear. If you do get this, you have what the Bible calls teleos, telomeres, biologically. If you get this, the telomeres on your DNA don't unravel. If you don't get this, the telomeres on your DNA do unravel, and you DYE, and you come back and you try it again next time. That's called mitemkosis. Because Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, let us leave. That means divorce. Let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. So I am talking about maturity. Energy cannot be destroyed. It cannot be created. It can only change form. And so what Yahushua is saying, what the Bible is trying to express, what Pastor Gallup is expressing very eloquently, along with all of the other preachers, I agree 100%. I have no issue. Okay, so what do we do next? We just sit back and we just wait for Jesus to come back. That means we don't do anything. We don't get engaged. We don't build nothing. That's the problem with the church. How do I know? Because my five children suffered from the same problem that I suffered because I passed it down. I couldn't start. That's why I'm just now overstanding stuff and see, I'm knocking on 60. Everything I'm doing now, I should have been doing when I was in my freaking 20s. But I was out sowing oats and having fun because the end of the world was coming. I was going to die anyway. There was nothing I could do about it, so I was going to go have fun. If we don't understand Hebrews 6:1, therefore let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith in God, instructions about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. We're not supposed to talk about none of that stuff. Why are we talking about it? I'm trying to overstand, but I'm having a problem. Because if you only talk about that stuff, remember, you bring about what you talk about. So if you talk about end times, you are ending your time. You are ordering your own lunch. This is called predictive programming. Psychologically speaking, that's why Christianity has now, according to the American Psychiatric Association, the AMA, they have deemed it as a mental disorder. You can look up the article. I posted it on my Facebook channel a couple of days ago. This is true. It is officially a mental disorder if you're a Christian, because it is the only religion that is self-defeating. Because what happened to my son is just now starting to live. Just now. Before that, all he did was drink and smoke. That's why all my kids are alcoholics. Now, they hate when I say that. We're not really on speaking terms right now, because like, every time they tune into one of my shows, they say, Dad, you be walking around telling everybody that we're alcoholics. All we do is just, you know, drink, you know, a little something when we wake up. You know, we go out and party with our friends. We drink. We maybe have a drink of wine when we, you know, when we eat dinner at night. And we're not alcoholics. They don't know their history. They don't know my father. They don't know his father. They were all functional alcoholics. They were stone cold drunk, and they could hold on the job and do everything. They don't know their ancestors. They only know their mom's side of the family. They never met all the alcoholics in my family. They don't even see. I know because I lived and I was raised and I saw the behavior. And this was all caused by me. Why? Because I told them the end of the world was coming. So they said, okay, we're going to do the three F's. We're going to have fun, we're going to fight, and we're going to procreate. Because, hey, we're going to die and go to hell anyway. So we might as well put on our gasoline draws, and we're going to go, and we're going to go to hell. Like I said, when I was young, if I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell, and I'm going to bust it wide open. I ain't going to barely get in. Because if I'm going, I'm going. And that's when I set out to violate every scripture known to man. Because they told me the end of the world was coming, and I was going to die in my sins and go to hell. Because I knew I couldn't keep all of those sins. And back then, they didn't have the teachings of grace like they do now. Back then, either you kept all the Ten Commandments and you did everything right, or you was going to hell. Because if you slipped up and didn't repent and you died doing the sin, you was going to hell. So I was like, oh, hell, this is too much. This is too difficult. Now, remember, I was a kid, and I did the same shit to my kids. And I wonder why they rebelled. They went out and did all of this stuff. Now, again, all my kids are business owners. They graduated. All my kids are great. But they were supposed to be a lot greater. I stunted their growth because of my teachings, because of what was taught to me. So what does all of this mean, though? What is the true secret of the universe? What is the true secret behind everything that you've ever learned, everything that you've ever taught, everything that you've ever heard? The true secret is this word, esoteric. Because everybody knows exoteric, but they don't know that they know. Because remember, exo is E-X. Eso is E-S. So eso, remember, everything I do is the ontological, esoteric meaning of, and in all of my shows, they're all esoteric. So the word esoteric is the ability to reprogram the mind so that way it can receive and accept things past externalism or exoteric. So esoteric is a skill set. It is the ability to learn and understand an inner knowledge taught by the inner eye or the inner God. It is a kingdom. Esoteric is class. It is the universe. It's not the universe or the omniverse. It is the innerverse. So esoteric, by definition, very important, it means an internal knowledge, hidden knowledge. Exoteric means outer knowledge. So very few people have an inner knowledge of what the end time means, because the word time means constellation. World means aeon or age. So it is the end of the age of Pisces, and it's the beginning of the age of Aquarius. That's the end of time. So when these preachers are teaching the end of the world, that is true. But it is a truth. It is not the truth. If you study the esoteric occult definition of the word occult, like I've done, you will find a Latin word that means occultus, O-C-C-U-L-T-S, meaning hidden, concealed, secret. Therefore, by definitions, the word occult means esoteric. Now, the word occult in the church means evil and devil. That is why nobody in the church will ever read what I read, because it is considered occult. And by definition, which they don't know, because most of the people back when I was a licensed and ordained preacher teaching this stuff to my children when they was babies and got them all scared up, the way that my mama, now, the shit I was doing, oh, man, wow. We was in a freaking underground bunker. You ever had church underground with freaking candles? With stacks of canned goods on the side of the wall in the back? You know what that does to the psyche of a child? You do not want to know. I pray to God that you don't have to experience it, or nobody that you know, and that you don't meet nobody that have experienced it. That creates a lot of anxiety. Because what they're telling you is any day, You're going to walk outside and you're going to get dropped. You're going to, bam, you're going to drop dead. That just stunts your growth. Your psychological growth, it just stops it. Because nobody told me, that is why I pray for death or truth. And that's why I got truth. Because Source, the big G, knows. Because this is cyclical. It is written in the stars. That is why the word occult is so evil and everybody is afraid of it. Because the moment that you say occult, but the word occult has nothing to do with evil. The word occult means secret. It means hidden, hidden knowledge. So this inability to go inside, now everybody got the outside. The only way, again, if thine eye be single, great is the light. So the light that the Bible is talking about is this word occult. Because the word occult simply means to go inside to find the inner knowledge of everything that's been said. So anybody and everybody who's preaching that the end of the world is coming is 100% true. Because the world means aeon, A-E-O-N. Aeon means age. Age means 2,590 years. So the secret of the universe is hidden inside of the parables that was taught by Yahushua. That's why Jesus says, no man can go to the Father except through me. Because what Jesus is saying is nobody can get to God except they understand words. And specifically, you cannot get to God unless you understand the word esoteric, which comes from a Greek word, esoterikos, E-S-O-T-E-R-I-K-O-S. And inside that word is the word sotar, S-O-T-E-R, which means salvation. Or sozo, S-O-Z. So inside is the Greek word for the English word, esoteric, which means belonging to, in the Greek, that word E-S-O-T-E-R-I-K-O-S. Now, I could go deep on this, and tomorrow I'm going to go a lot deeper. So this is like part one. So join me tomorrow at 12 noon. Yeah, we're going to go a lot deeper. So when we talk about this word, this gets into what is called sotoology, and I am a sotoologist, S-O-T-E-R, soter, sotoology, I-O-L-O-G-Y. I would like to say that I made up that word myself, but I didn't. Guess what that word means? I would like for everybody to, at your convenience, of course, when you got an opportunity, but at your earliest convenience, because you got to get out of Groundhog's Day. Because remember, the only reason you cannot be wealthy, healthy, wise, and in a great relationship is if you're not vibrating that, if you're not ordering it. How do you order with your autoimmune system? How do you order with your unconscious brain? Not the subconscious and not the conscious, the unconscious. Right now I'm talking, you're conscious. You can hear me and you can understand what I'm saying. But that's not how you understand. How you understand is what you've been programmed before you was 8. So I'm saying something, but your brain is twisting it so that way it fits into an 8-year-old box. I can talk till I'm blue in the face. You ain't going to hear shiznit. You can't, according to biology. The reticular activating system distorts reality to fit in your box. So if you are a religious cretin, you cannot understand what I'm saying. It is biologically impossible unless you destroy your box, like I did on January the 1st of 2009. How do you destroy your box? Like Jesus said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. If you do not have the love of the truth, you cannot receive. It's impossible. So how do we get the love? That word, S-O-T-E-R, which is inside of the Latin word, for the English word esoteric, that is the doctrine of salvation. Heavenly Father, in the name that no man, woman, or child knows, touch the mind, will, emotion, imagination, and intellect of your people. Father, do it because you are source code. Whether it be father, mother, son, rabbit, squirrel, donkey, the supreme being, the supreme essence, the supreme nothingness, and the supreme allness expand the consciousness and awareness of your people. Tomorrow morning at 12 noon, or tomorrow at 12, we break down sotoology. That means the doctrine of salvation. You have never heard this taught before. Everything that you think you know about sozo, Savior, the Preserver, the doctrine of salvation that occupies and is the center of ascension in every religion on earth, everybody knows that you're not going to stay in this body forever. But what happens after this body? That is inside of the English word esoteric, which is inside, because the English word esoteric, look at the spelling, it is E for eternity, S-O-T-E-R. That word, S-O-T-E-R, we got to break down, S-O-T-E-R. We break it out tomorrow at 12 noon. In the Greek and the Latin, it is E-S-O-T-E-R-I-K-O-S, meaning belonging to the inner circle, one who belongs to an inner circle. That's where every secret society get their secret society foundation from. That word, esoteric, which means hidden. It means concealed. It means secret. It means innerverse. It means you have to, the only way that you can learn what I and understand what I understand is you got to go inside of you. You cannot go outside of you. If you go outside of you, you're just getting somebody else's regurgitated stuff. You got to go inside. Because why? The kingdom of God is within. All gnosis and all knowledge is within. So when the preacher is preaching about end time prophecy, everything he's saying is 100% correct. But he's got the wrong definition. He has the right words, but the wrong definition. So if I say be still and know God, I could say you could perceive that as S-T-E-E-L. But is that what I say when I say be still? Or am I saying S-T-E-E-L? Or am I saying be still? Turn into Superman? The man of steel? Or am I saying, you know, be still? S-T-E-A-L. Like be still and like go to the store and steal something. Or am I saying stop, like steal, like S-T-I-L-L. Well, you don't know because they're all phonetically the same unless you understand the inflections of my voice. So the inability to understand words, that's the key, because Jesus is the word. That's why you cannot get to the Father unless you go through the word. So you cannot, words make flesh with right definitions. If you got the right definitions and the right intention, when you speak, abracadabra, as I speak, I create. It is impossible, universal, spiritual law, impossible for you to be poor, for you to be sick, for you to be ignorant, and for you to be in a negative relationship unless you got the wrong definition. Because the word must accomplish that for which it was sent. That's universal spiritual law. The word cannot return void. Abracadabra. I create what I speak. It is impossible. So I got to give you flawed definitions. And so when these preachers preach about the end times, what they are saying is true, but it's the wrong definition. So the word end, it means the same word that Jesus said, which is prototikos in the Greek. The word end means prototikos. That means the first in a session or series, meaning one session in, another one begins. So the word end means a session or series. So in English, maybe instead of using the word end, maybe we should use another word. But the people who translated the Helios Biblios from its original text in the English, they chose to use words that gave us confusing meaning. So end means a succession, meaning something that stops and then another something else starts. Time means the zodiac. So when we talk about the end of times or the end of the world, we're talking about a succession or a series of stopping and going. But that's not the way the end time preachers say it, because they don't know. They use the English definition, but nobody, none of the writers of the Bible were from Great Britain. They weren't English-speaking people. It was Arabic. It was Chaldean. It was Greek. It was Aramaic. It was Latin. But it wasn't English. And it damn sure wasn't King James. So what you got is a version. That's why they said it. Please take out your Bible, man, and look on the front of your Bible. Let me take out my Bible. If you got a Bible at home, please take out your Bible. It's right there on your Bible. Nobody's lying to you. Everything, that's why you cannot debate these preachers, because what they're saying is a truth. On my Bible, it says Holy Bible, and then down at the bottom it says KJV, and then it has this word, V-E-R-S-I-O-N. Has anybody ever looked up the definition of that word? No, you have not. Well, let me rephrase that. There might be somebody out there that have, especially if you've been listening to me. You should have. Oh, man. I am so thankful. Sometimes, I'm telling y'all, man, sometimes I just pull over the side of the road and I just start crying. I just cry uncontrollably. Because if it had not been for the grace and mercy of God, there go I. Still in tradition. I love my wife, but I feel sorry for my wife. Because just like me, my wife runs around 24/7. She out running on right now for the church. This is the hardest working woman I know. That's why I married her. She's a good person, but I feel sorry for her. Because I don't know how much longer she can keep it up. I watch my mama do the same thing. I watch my stepmama. My dad has outlived three women. My dad is 87 years old. He do not believe in church. He's never been to church. He used to laugh at us and my mama, my first mama, my second mama, my third mama. They all dead. My dad's still here. He do not believe in none of the shit that I believe in. Never has. And my dad is the most calm, sane. And now when he was an alcoholic, he was crazy as hell. That's why we didn't get along. And he don't even much remember me as a kid because, like he said, he was always drunk. But one thing I give my dad, I don't know how he knew, but he just knew something was wrong. And he never set foot in a church. He barely even go to funerals because they're in churches. He do not like churches. I can't get him to tell me why. You're like, boy, I just don't go. My dad done a lot of things wrong. But the one thing my dad has done right that I should have did, that I didn't, well, he did not fall for religion. Brothers and sisters, what you got in your hand is King James Version or whatever translation you got. That is their interpretation. It's not even their interpretation. Go to dictionary.com or any great dictionary and just look at the word version. And those guys really sound really close to the word virgin, version, and virgin. Now, a virgin is like someone who's never had sex, right? Like physical. Like they were staying. Now, you could be a virgin, and I guess, like, let's say alcohol, you know, but being a virgin is considered someone who has never had sexual intercourse. Now, remember, we just finished doing the series on the word sex and the word intercourse, sexual intercourse. So the word enter means the internal course. So a virgin is someone who has never, Father, touch the minds of your people. A virgin is someone who's never went inside themselves and started to walk on their course or their path. A virgin is somebody that don't know, because they've never had a climax. They don't know. They never climbed to the max. A virgin is someone who has never went internal. A virgin, a female virgin, is someone who's never been, let's use the word defiled, for lack of a better term. They've never had, you know, physically you know, something inserted into them. They never engaged in that act. They have no clue. They are not esoteric. They've never experienced the internal sensation of sex. A virgin is basically someone who has never had sex, intercourse. That means they've never been, quote unquote, saved. They don't know God. They don't know the internal. So if you're talking to somebody who's never had sex and you're going to explain to them how does it feel to have sex, how do you explain it? I don't care what words you – sex, until you have it, you have no clue. Until you have a – you know, have sex, you don't know what it is. Now let's look at the word version, V-E-R-S-I-O-N, version. So what we have is King James Version. At least I got a Bible, and it says King James Version. First of all, we could talk for hours about who's King James. So what we got is King James Version of the end times. Because what does the word version mean? It means one person or source account. Hold up, time out. You got to be kidding me. I thought this was God's account. Again, according to the definition, and the world that we live in, as I would prove tomorrow at 12 noon, do that, mister. I'm going to do my Facebook Live like I usually do. You don't want to miss that. So the word version comes from a Latin word. The first part of the word, the V-R, that means to turn, and the S-E means to see. It means to turn and see, version. So it's an account. It's a point of view that I need you to turn and see. I need you to turn and see my point of view, not the original. It has nothing to do with the actual. It's a turning actually away from the original. The word version means to turn away and go in another direction. That's what it's like reverse. It's version. So the word version is a transliterate translation, but it comes from a Latin word that means a turning or to turn, meaning to see or to change positions. It means the changing of position, the rotating of a position, a changing of a direction. So King James changed the direction from what to what? So what you got is a change. You got something that's a version is a way to change your direction from whatever the original was. So King James and any other version, except the original, that's why I usually go back to the Textus Receptus and the Septuagint. And there's a lot of other, you know, original documents. So the goal, the emphasis is for me to try to trace stuff back to its source or to the original. Now, I was going to play the rest of this video, but if anybody's interested, I'll just send it to you by a pastor. Remember what I said. I agree with everything that this pastor and any traditional pastor says about the Bible, 100%, because I understand the outside meaning. So I finally realize that the church is not a place that you go for truth. The church is a place that you go for fellowship. So when people ask me all the time, because I have to wrestle with it, because otherwise, you know, because I have to find a way to save my marriage. Otherwise, me and my wife would not be married. Because we don't agree upon anything when it comes about to religion, as everybody knows. And I made it okay. I actually encouraged her not to listen to my shows, because remember, the four times I left, that's what we called it. I left for women who did listen to my shows, who did see my worth and value. Because I was like, you know, remember, I live what I preach. So when I say get with somebody who elevates you, not tolerates you. So I packed my shit and left. So how can I stay if nothing changed? I had to go source, and I had to ask source. But other than that, everything, we were good. but she can't see what I see. Skin in the game, she got skin in another game. Skin means kin. Her mother and father are pastors of the church she goes to. She is the church. So source told me, I don't know what source told you or tells you, but source told me, stop going there to learn. Go there to fellowship. Oh, okay, so it's just like going out to eat. Okay, I can go out to eat to anybody as long as you don't fix my food. I'm not going to let my enemy or people that don't like me fix my plate for me. I don't know, you might sprinkle a little something in my food. But I will hang out with anybody, man. Y'all know me not. Well, maybe y'all don't. I've talked to witches, Satanists, KKK members. Like, I talked to the head of, when I worked in the prison, the head of the entire nation of the Brotherhood of the White Aryan Brotherhood of the Snake, who told me as he was looking at me, if you walk in this cage, I will end your life. So I looked up at the, what we call pod officer, open cell 15. And I walked in there. And I said, this is your opportunity to end my life, homie. See what you got. Because I know he was blowing smoke. He already in there on triple life. But see, that I wasn't scarred. And you can't be scarred. What am I saying? I'm saying, brothers and sisters, you have to be in a place where you do not have fear. They feed on your fear. Whatever you got to do to handle your fear, everybody handles fear differently. That's why a lot of the church stuff, you walk away with what? Fear. That's how I knew it was wrong. Because anyone or anything that makes you feel that, they want you to be that, knowingly or unknowingly. That is the opposite of everything that I know is source. So I know the source is like positive, what we would call positive. Positive just simply means vibration. So what type of vibration? Vibration is just simply an energy. What kind of energy? Well, energy that is love, joy, what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. And so this is not rocket science. So there's no way we should dislike each other because we got different belief systems. That is why it is easy for me now. But when I had a different belief system, I didn't get along with anybody who did not have my belief system. And now I can get along with anybody because I'm not trying to change their belief system. So me and my wife get along great because I'm not trying to change her belief system. She's not trying to change my belief system. Why? It is not my job. That's ology. That's sozo in the Greek, S-O-Z-O. That's source code. That's God's job. So, again, everything about the true source liberates you. Everything about the fake source binds you. Bondage. That's called Egypt. I can easily tell if somebody is connected to the original source or the fake source because they're trying to limit. Now, remember, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's called control and manipulate. That's why at the end of every show, I say, may the Ruach and the Numa lead you and guide you because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. Why? I came out of manipulation and control. I know manipulation and control. And the best form of manipulation and control is flattery. So that false, fake humility, they say, oh, brother, we love you. Praise Jesus, brother. Praise the Lord. Come on in there. And everything's great until you piss them off. And then all of a sudden, you're not welcome in their little country club no more. It's real easy for me. Now, I don't know if you've heard of the true story of, what's the old boy's name? I forgot. It's in the book Power, 48, Art of War. That Muslim guy, Saeed Adam, whatever his name was, how he conquered the whole Middle East, the whole country, with never firing a weapon. Everybody likes to fight. You know how he got, you know how he took over his whole country, became king, and was the longest ruling Muslim leader in Islam with a smile. He charmed. Now, everybody knew he was a snake. And everybody would try to outthink him, but nobody could. That's why I like the movie or the series Billions. Because in the series Billions, it's a difference. It is mental chess versus mental checkers. I've always prided myself on playing mental chess and not mental checkers. Why? Because we're up against a linguistical god who's a master of exteriology, which means the ability to move within. You see, the outside means nothing. What is the etymological, is that a word? Etymology? So etymologically, I think that's a word. So if it's not, it's a word today. What is the eto, E-T-Y? Remember, we got atom, we got adam, and then we got etom, ology. Those are all the same. So when I talk about an A-T-O-M, atom, when I'm talking about an A-D-A-M, Adam, when I'm talking about an A-D-U-M, Adum, Atum, A-T-U-M, Atum, Egyptology, or if I'm talking about an E-T-Y-M-O-L, Et-Mal, or Etum, they're all the same. What do they all mean? To understand what's going on within. You see, brothers and sisters, if you can understand what is going on inside the mind of your quote-unquote enemy or your adversary, you can play them like a fiddle. You know their likes and their dislikes. That is why I love what I do. Because what I do is understand people. I understand how you think inside, not outside. I'm not interested in understanding the universe because the universe is just one verse. You're more than one verse. You are a multiverse. So I got to understand the universe. I got to understand the outerverse. I got to understand the innerverse. The word verse means stanza. The word stanza simply means the arrangement of a certain line. This is a fixed length, a fixed meter, or a fixed rhyme. That's what the word verse means, fixed. So it's one fixed. But you are more than just one fix. You're more than one line. So you got the knowledge of the universe. You got the knowledge of just one line. Well, right now, you are made up of at least seven lines. Some people say more than that because you got seven chakras. That means seven frequencies of vibrations. You just know one. What about the other six? Oh, you don't know nothing about those? Okay, so there's one part of your nature that you know about. The other six parts of your nature that I know about, I can control those six parts of your nature because you don't know they exist. Now, any great criminals, and I've been around a lot of great, I'm talking about great, great criminals. That's why they say, and then the one criminal that was the greatest that I ever met was a guy called The Animal that I tell you guys they made a Lifetime movie about in the state of New Mexico, the only inmate to ever escape while in his cage. To this day, they don't know how he got out. The cage door never opened. They got it on video. He never, but some kind of way he got out. That was the greatest dude, the greatest mind, the evilest man I've ever met. That dude was evil incarnate. You, when you walked past him and you looked at him, it was like the same feeling you get when you look at a lion. That same feeling, like you know that if that lion, first of all, you look at the size of it and you look at the power, and if you know that there was no bars between you and that lion, you know, there's no doubt, you know that you'd be lunched. Everybody got that same feeling around this guy. He understood the inner workings of the mind, the human mind, and how it works. See, but we don't understand the inner workings of God's mind and how it works. Because remember in the book of Jeremiah, when Jeremiah says that my people, they don't understand their own plans. And there are that scripture that says that the birds know their seasons. What is it, Father? What is it? Source Jeremiah 8. Thank you. Let's see. Jeremiah 8. Yep, Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 6. I have listened and I have heard. They do not speak what is right. No one represents, no one repents of his wickedness, asking, what have I done? Everyone has stayed his course like a horse charging into battle. Even the stalk in the sky knows her appointed seasons. The turtle dove, the swift, and the thrush observe their time of migration. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. Jeremiah 8, 7, that was verse 7. Jeremiah 8, 7 in the King James. Yea, the stork in heaven knoweth her appointed times. The turtle and the crane and the swallow, they observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. See, we don't know. Everything else knows, but we don't know. What is it that we don't know? We do not know the inner workings of God. We do not know the inner workings of Source. So when we say, or when people say, the end of the world is coming, the prophecies, you know, Jesus healed, did another, everything is true outside. So when Jesus, another example, so Jesus, he fed, what is it, 5,000? That represents five dimensions. With two fish. What zodiac sign got two fish? Pisces. And a loaf of bread, right? The story goes, he had two fish, loaf of bread, fed 5,000 people. And he had leftovers. He could have operated higher. Two fish. This is the age that we in. But no, the end of this age, that's what the end of times means. The end of times means the end of the two fish. So next time he feeds 5,000, it won't be with two fish. It's going to be with a dude with a bucket of water. Because that's the age we're going into. This is the end of the age, the end of the eon, the end of the two fish. We're feeding 5,000 people with two fish, the age of Pisces, and bread. What does bread represent? Life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So the bread represents the word of God. The bread represents life. The two fish represent during the age of Pisces, give people the word of God, because you can't just give them bread. They need the word too. And then they can vibrate on a 5D, five dimension. That's coming out right now. That's what that was saying. But if you don't know, that's the inside meaning. On the outside meaning, Jesus worked a miracle. He fed a lot of people who was hungry, and all he had was two fish and a loaf of bread. That's a great story. So people read it, then they go home and go to sleep. But if you understand the inside meaning, you don't go home and go to sleep. You go home and you do exactly what he did. Jesus says, you're supposed to, the things that I have done, you shall do, and even greater things. So how many people are doing what Jesus did? Why not? They don't know what he did. They read about what he did, but they don't know what he did, because the only way to know what he did is to know the inner meanings of what he did. That's why Jesus pulled the disciples over, and he said, for them, it's not to know. But for you, it is to know, because they ask him, okay, Jesus, why you always pull us to the side, man, and then tell us a different meaning from what you told them? He said, for them, it's not for them to know. They just know the outside meaning. But you got to know the inside meaning. Why? You're my disciple. What's a disciple? Disciple is a follower. It's somebody who does or who's interested in being an apprentice. That means that you want to learn. So if you don't want to learn how to do what Jesus did, okay, the outside meaning is all you need. But if you actually do got a good heart and you really, 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 really do want to operate in love, joy, peace, gentleness, meaning, self-control against the things there is no law, if you want to do all those things, well, you got to understand that the sentences inside of the Bible are not called sentences. They're called verses. How come they're not called sentences? Every other book you read, it got sentences and paragraphs. The Bible doesn't. The Bible has verses. Tomorrow we will break down verses. V-E-R-S-E-S. Yeah, I remember, brothers and sisters. Like Matthew 13:34, Jesus is known as the Word. He talks about being the living Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among men. We don't know. Well, I didn't know what words were. But as soon as I found out, I started telling everybody. That's why I'm an etymologist. Because I know that the life or the power, life and death, that power, the power of life and death, that power is in the tongue. Now, he could have said that power was anywhere else, but the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. You got that power. Life and death, brothers and sisters, you can speak and you can add life. You can speak and basically take life. Why? You can elevate people or you can deflate people. It's extremely important, but it's because these words that I speak, they are life, rhema words. So Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. Make sure you love the definitions of words. That way you can produce fruit. And again, the life management system is a system based upon etymology. Why? Life and death is in the power of the tongue, according to Proverbs, that we just read, chapter 18, verse 21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The whole purpose of this system is for you to have fruit. Faith first, fruit second, freedom third. So how do you get fruit? Standing words produces fruit. Proverbs 18:21. If you do not understand words, if you don't use etymology, you cannot produce fruit. So the only reason you're in Groundhog's Day, the only reason you have less money, the only reason you don't have more money, I should say, the only reason you don't have more health, the only reason you don't have more wisdom, the only reason, now you already got all this stuff, but the only reason you have more is that you're not going deeper with your definitions. That's why I go 7 layers deep. Because the power, the devil, if you want to use that term, and the angel, if you want to use that term, is in the power of the word, the definitions. My people perish for a lack of definitions, for a lack of knowledge. Because in order to get knowledge, you got to get that definition. So you cannot get no fruit because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Words produce fruit because words produce worlds. Hebrews 11:3. Your words frame worlds. Oh, man, you just don't know the power that's in your words. But the day that you do is the day that your life changes. Brothers and sisters, this is an honor and a privilege to break bread with you on this Sabbath day, 4/27/19, April the 27th, 2019, Sabbath day, Saturday. Tomorrow, 4/28, we break down again the secret to the true esoteric and exoteric secret universe, which is we have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels. But what is this treasure? Christ. What is Christ? The Word that became flesh and now dwells among men. What is this Word that turns sound in the flesh? Oh, we've got to break it down. Because then you won't oscillate and vibrate in fear any longer. Like the preacher said, you will be happy that the end of the world is near. You're going to be happy. Why? Because you know the end of the world means the end of the age. And the end of the Piscean age means the beginning of the golden era. The golden era is the age of the water bearer. Why? Knowledge, technology, everything is expanding. Now, it's not, remember, the preacher just said it. Everything is expanding now. Knowledge is growing faster within our generation. Our generation has seen a proliferation in every area. Wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. But at the same time, whatever degree the pendulum swings to the left, it also swings to the right. A lot of people are making money, but then there's a lot of people that are not. Why? The people that are making money, they understand the definition of words. The people that are not, they don't. It is my prayer that you understand the definitions of the words that you are using so that you can establish the world that you want to live in. Brothers and sisters, I am the one and only Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. He has a name written on his thigh that no man can pronounce. May the Son, the S-O-N, and the S-U-N, and the Ruach, and the Numa, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you, because they will never, ever, ever manipulate or try to control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. If you're not a part of Life Vitamin System, make sure to email me today, masterteacher33@gmail.com. God bless you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can't be paid up on the frame, dude, we stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you.
Yeah.
It'll show you how you are to God or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out the make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
I'm so loyal, I can't.